came into your parking lot a while ago. And if it's tough getting into heaven, it's getting up over that hill. I want to tell you, a lot of sinners are going to have a hard time. I think it's very complimentary of you to come out an evening like this.
I wouldn't.
There isn't a single lecture I know of I'd go to hear of an evening like this when the ocean is right down there and everything else. And so I think it's very complimentary that you come out to hear. But I know what you're coming for. I can't teach you anything. There are certain rules and basic things that have been laid down. It is, I may bring to your attention something, and what I don't say may reveal to you enough so that you may discover, you may make a self-discovery. Now, Jesus couldn't do anything, and so I don't think you're going to do very much. He said, I can't do a thing. And that took away all the idea that you could sit down and make God do your bidding. So many people are still playing on that note, that they think that by saying words or affirmations or holding a thought or something like that, they are going to control this great power. Think of a butterfly dashing around out in the sun. It's controlled by a principle. Imagine you sitting in your office controlling that magnificent thing out there, that universal power. Imagine then that you think by holding a thought or by doing something that you can control this magnificent power. You can make nothing but discovery. When you once hear the word of Jesus Christ, you begin to make a self-discovery. But you run from pillar to post and from one thing to another, always thinking there's another man going to bring it. A man isn't going to bring it. You're going to discover it. The teaching of Jesus Christ is mostly commands. He said, heal the sick. Nothing, period. There's no instructions given. And that seems very unkind in view of the fact that we have given so much instruction of how to heal the sick and they haven't been healed. He said, raise the dead even. And it is very funny that we today, after 2,000 years, are still playing up the crucifixion. That's as far as we went. That is as far as the churches have gone. They've gone to and through the crucifixion. But you see, he went beyond the crucifixion into self-resurrection. And he said to you, and he said to me, that your fathers ate bread in the wilderness and they're dead. And I repeat this a good deal because it has just come upon me in the last couple of months that they went out in the wilderness and they demonstrated bread and meat. And that was very good. And they demonstrated clothing that would not decay. And shoes that would stand up against the most rugged opposition. They did all that, and you have done as much. It's very interesting. I said when I read that thing about 2 months ago or 3 months ago, I said, well, you've done that too. Everybody in this room has seen manifestation and demonstration of one sort or another. You've healed the sick. You've raised the dead. You've seen it. There isn't anything. Probably the only thing I don't know that I haven't done is self-resurrection. But the rest of it's all done. You've done it too. Well, so did your ancestors. But they're dead. It's very interesting. When you begin to read the teaching of Jesus, you will see something that you have never heard before. And we have to hear it and hear it and hear it, and then one day you hear it. Because he was speaking to an audience, and he said, you have ears and you can't hear anything. Which is a good way to insult an audience, to start with. You have eyes and you see nothing. You have ears and hear nothing. You just hear the words. You don't hear the word. Hello. So he said, well, yes, I came in Christian Science when I was just a kid, and I made demonstrations right and left. My goodness, they were all over the place. Because I just believed the whole thing like that, and it was wonderful. And nothing against that. Don't misunderstand me. I have great respect and great appreciation for everything that's come to me, but all my practitioner friends are dead. All the patients are dead. Exactly what Jesus said. Your fathers ate the bread, they demonstrated cake, they demonstrated food, they demonstrated clothing and money and everything else, and they're dead. Now, if I don't know whether you just want to play around with this thing or not, or whether you're really interested in getting a hold of something within yourself. Jesus came to give you this magnificent revelation. But you have to take it. Nobody can force it down your throat. It will not come to you because you beg or plead or good, bad, or indifferent. It will come to you from recognition. So anyhow, there he said, well, your fathers, they demonstrated just like you're doing, but they're dead. And then he tells something that nobody's paid any attention to. He said, but you have bread that they know not of. This is what is written in the law. It is the bread that cometh down from heaven. That's the number two. Now, you see, we haven't gone that far at all. We've just gone up to crucifixion, that we had done the best we could do with prayer and with words and everything else, and they're dead. Now you have a bread that they knew not of. You have a bread that descends from heaven, which, if a man eat thereof, he shall never die. Now, I can't make this so. I can't do a thing with it. I can tell you about it. That's all I can do. You can hear it or you can reject it. You can say, as many people say, well, I'd like to see it work. You can't see it work. You do not believe. But there's a big statement, and there is a statement. It says, but you have some bread that they know not of, which, if a man eat thereof, he shall never die. These are big steps, aren't they? They're terrific. Otherwise, as I read in the paper tonight, that Eartha Kitt, she says, I am a fatalist. She said, I don't care what you do, what's going to happen is going to happen, and there's just nothing you can do about it. And so she said, I decided to get everything I could out of it, but I know there's no good at all trying to change that. It is a fact. That is the teaching of your fathers. That is the teaching of plenty of people today. They may not admit it, but that's the truth. And here comes this beloved back there 2,000 years ago and says, but, and then all of a sudden, there is a way out. There is a door slowly opening. And he said, but you have bread they know not of, and that is the bread that descendeth from heaven. And where is heaven? So we begin to see something, which if a man should eat thereof, he will never die again. We're not trying to do any demonstrating or anything at all. We're just looking at some facts. You profess to be a Christian. Would you let me tell you that Jesus Christ was a liar? That's what he said. You say it isn't true? You say there isn't that bread? We're not talking about bread. We're talking about bread. Substance. Which if a man eat thereof? Well, it seems so nebulous on the outside. And it is because we have run on the outside. You remember that story about Agassiz, the scientist, and this wealthy family sent their boy to become a scientist. And so Agassiz gave him a pad of paper and a pencil and a fish, a little fish, and sent him in a room and said, here, go in there and write me something about this fish. Well, the kid was in about 10 minutes, and he said, the fish has two eyes and a tail and fins. That's all. He said, come tomorrow. He sent him back in again with a pad of paper and the fish. And he came. He was kind of disturbed, and he went home and told his parents, I'm not getting any training. They just give me that old fish and a piece of paper. And he doesn't give me any instructions. So the mother came, and he said, you take your child. She said, no, I want you to teach him. Well, he said, send him back. Send him back the next day. He gave him a pad of paper and the fish and a pencil and sent him in the other room. And the kid was so mad that he pushed the thing off the table that way, and his fingernail caught under one of the scales, and it pipped off, and he got interested, and he took off all the scales, and he sorted them in size, and night came, and Agassiz came to the door and said, what are you doing? He said, I have just started to discover. That's where you are right now with the Jesus Christ teaching. You're like that kid with the fish in the other room. You think because you've heard, raise the dead, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, and you've made these demonstrations, which die afterwards, that you did pretty good. And nobody's saying you didn't. But what good is it? Financial demonstrations? Yes. They can be made. I know that. Up to a certain point. But the minute it's gone, you have to demonstrate again. The minute you have health, when you demonstrate health, you have to demonstrate again. But if you have life flowing through you, you don't have to demonstrate health because you haven't any health. You have another thing, a life thing, which if a man were dead, yet shall he live again, and which a lot of things like that. And you are beginning to see something within yourself. And you are beginning to see why Jesus said, I can't do a thing. Of myself, I can do nothing. But, and then he went to the Father, which is a very nebulous statement and means nothing really. He went back to that place, or as we might say, the drop of water went to the ocean again. And when it came out again, it was free from all the filth and dirt and things of earth. And here you stand with the history of your case scratched all over your body. Anybody can read it. You see, you can't say 10 words before you've told your middle name. You've told everything there is to know about you. If you hear a person speak for just a minute or two, you know everything in the world about that person. They've told everything. And they tell the story that you've tried and that you've been good and that you wanted to demonstrate money and you couldn't take it. And then you still adhere to this Jesus teaching, and he said, if you want it, take it. So I want to tell you I'm going to grab it, but I can't. It's gone. It is assumption. It is whether or not you believe. You say you believe. You say that you believe that God is life. All right. Then what is this thing that you call health? It is something that you've got shut up in the perimeter of your body. Shut up in the perimeter of your body. And it goes down from the time you're an infant. And pretty soon they say it's all run out. The life course has run out. And he said, I can't do anything about it when he had 5,000 people to feed. So he went. Where did he go? To the Father. And that is where he stepped off the edge of the thing. That is, he begins to see. Now, you say that one with God is a majority. Do you believe that? A majority is against anything else is a minority that you have in your life. You can't demonstrate it. The minute you set yourself up and say, I'm going to overpower this situation, I'm going to demonstrate money, you're not. You're not going to do a thing. And I'm going to heal this disease, you see. You're making the disease real. When he returned, when he went back, when he became one with the immaterial substance, whatsoever he accepted, whatsoever he took, well, I don't know how it can come to pass. No man knows, not even the Son, but the Father, how this peculiar thing can take shape. How is this lecture taking shape now? I didn't make any preparations for it. I stand here. I am the point where this inaudible thing is stepped down to a point of audibility. And it must bring with it a certain power. You see, I don't do anything with it at all. It's running through. It will run through for the hour without any effort on my part at all. It goes on and on and on. In any situation that it comes like this, wherever it stands in front of an audience, it will automatically give a lecture at the level of that audience. It's very interesting. See, we're not playing with this thing. I know I must give a good lecture. I must study. I must work. I must know. And I must do all these things and that thing to bring this thing up. No. There are many things. You are all sitting comfortably in your chair. If I said arise, what would you do? What would do it? You'd hardly think about it, would you? Something would straighten you out in your chair. You're beginning to see something. It is the appropriation of the thing, that the substance. Now, last week I had a bill for $100,000. It was Confederate money. It wasn't worth the paper it was printed on. I had a 500,000 mark bill from the Reichsbank in Germany. Not worth a thing. But at one time, worth face value. Where is the money they were worth? Where is the gold of Croesus today, the richest man in the world? Where is his gold? Nobody knows. When you go to trace it, they don't know what became of it. Where was it anyway? Where is the money you have in the bank? Why, you could get frightened if you wanted to. It isn't there. It's in your consciousness. It's that consciousness back of the thing. And I'm trying to get a hold of these bills. Well, they may go out. They may go down. They may go up. They may go any direction. The manifestation is the thing you're seeking. It says, why do you seek that? Why don't you begin to see what it is that comes back of that thing? If I teach you how to play a piece on the piano, you can play one piece on the piano. But if I turn to another piece, you can't do anything. But if you understand music, you can play anything that's put in front of you. And that's exactly what Jesus said. You seek me for the loaves and fishes? Well, you want to make a demonstration. It's all right. You want to demonstrate a little money? Or you want to demonstrate a house or a car or something like that? It's all right. But there is a flow of this substance through you. You are just like a frigid air. In that respect, it's a ridiculous illustration. But the invisible air comes down through that. It's condensed into steam and water and finally in chunks of ice. And it goes right through. And so you are the spot or the lump of substance or whatever you may call it. You are an organization here. And that is the point of condensation. The invisible becomes visible through you. But if you think you're little Jane Jones or John Smith and you're going to make something happen, you're going to do something, then nothing is going to happen. See, because you have taken it away from that power. It is fabulous what can happen to you. See, you can or you can't. And by holding your thought, by holding a thought, you inhibit it. A thought should be cast away. The idea comes to you. And when the seed is thrown into the ground, it will rot. But you're holding the thought. I'm going to hold the thought, I'm going to get a new car. I don't think you are. But you can hold the thought anyway. If you want to. But when you have the idea of a new car, and you will take it, you, this funny old thing that's never had anything or that's had everything, you, this funny little one, has heard, oh, this is metaphysics. All you have to do is say money, 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 and it'll just come down like that to you. Or this man has another formula that you take and use that for. It won't work. And finally, you become disgusted with it. But it's the most reasonable thing in the world that if you believe, if you do believe, there is such a thing as God, and you can take a thing and you can forget it, it's coming right straight up to your door. Well, it isn't going to come up there if you're going to be looking for it. If you're going to be peeping to see whether it works. You cannot look at the processes of gestation. When the conception takes place, it's silent, and from that instant on, it begins building itself a body. That's exactly what you do with your prayer if you knew how to pray. It says, when you pray, believe. Before you ask, I will answer. Now I'm going to take some poor little word, and I'm going to hold on to that word. No, I want to release it. My words are spirit, and they are truth. They shall not return unto me void. They must be released. But have you the courage to believe? I don't know whether you have or not. I know that you can have everything you ask for. That's a very startling statement. I don't care what it is, if you could take it. But you can't take it because you don't believe when you grab. Anytime you think I'm going to be a high-powered businessman, I'm going to ooh, like that. You shut every door. This is so tense. Nothing can come in. You are a hopeless success from the standpoint of spirit. You can't do anything when you're working from this angle that will not turn into success. It is not a matter of whether the world wants it or not. You are a person that has no competition because you are sent of God. You are sent. You are sent. All right. But I'd like to see it. You can't see it because you said that. See, everything gives you away. Well, if I could see anybody that had done it, you will never see it. You can only see at the level of your belief. And when you arrive at a certain belief, you can see the proof all over the place. And I don't say that you can demonstrate a pile of money, but I definitely say to you that you can enter into a state of ease, financial ease. I heard the word Jesus Christ in 1923. Well, I'd heard it ever since I'd been a child. My father had a very careless way with a word. He used to say, if you didn't believe, if you weren't able to do a thing. No, he didn't use that way. He used to say, if I'd say, I can't do that. And he'd say, well, you know what Jesus did, and just like if Jesus was a boyfriend next door. He used to talk that way. He wasn't religious, but I don't know whether he used that as a means of escape or not. But it had a terrible effect on me. I thought, well, here's this man that did everything. Well, what about it? Do you believe? Or are you going to try to demonstrate? Well, I got nothing the matter with the demonstration. You see? Said your father demonstrated bread. You've demonstrated bread. You've demonstrated quail and fish and clothing and cars and houses and like that. Too. But you come to the end of it. Pretty soon, you hear people saying it doesn't work anymore. I don't seem to get results anymore. Why? Because you are trying to manhandle God. And when you stop that and let God demonstrate you, it's going to be magic what's going to take place in you. You're going to move into a level, an elevation of life where you don't have any help. And you become unconscious of the organism of your body. The inner organism of your body, you will not know that you have. Because it is like that great thing, that great power pulsating. You see, a heart trouble is cured in an instant when you realize there's only the throb of the heart of God. And if you ever get into that throb, you're forever. See, that's the thing that presses on the diaphragm of life to come through. And so is it with every other organ in your body. And it becomes, you get so you're unconscious of it. And pretty soon you're unconscious of God. Because you become, whatever you become conscious of, as long as you're conscious of it, you have to use. When you were a child, you were conscious of your alphabet and had to use it all the time. And you had to think A, B, C, D. But now you don't think of it in two or three languages. You don't think anything of it at all. You're unconscious of it. If you had to stop and spell every word out. But you don't. But you are so conscious of it. And now you're becoming conscious of God. And if you were alone, if you were actually alone, I don't care where you are, and you would stop for one instant and make the recognition, you'd see that God is a majority. And that majority is not putting on a fight. It's just showing you things that can't happen. And when I say showing you things that can't happen, that is exactly what I mean. To the most drastic sense. I'm not talking about some funny little thing that happens. I'm talking about the thing that cannot positively happen. That does happen. And will happen for you. But not if you're going to try to show off. And say, well, now we're going to make God jump through the hoop. Like a dog jumping through a hoop. You begin to see this thing that Jesus was talking about. I came that your joy might be full. I came that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. That you might have it. But none of the disciples heard it. See, they didn't hear it. Because they all, with the exception of John, I think, they all came to a rather terrible end. It's nothing in accordance with the teaching of Jesus at all, really, when you see it. Well, they were the same as the ancestors. The ancestor teaching. And if that's what you're after, there's nothing the matter with it. That's all right. That's what you want. If you want to do that, if you want to demonstrate $5 and spend it and demonstrate another $5, that's your business, and there is nothing wrong with it. But we are talking about something else. The flow of life and the flow of substance through everything. Like the wind passing through the screen. How could you have any help when you once recognized that over here, there, up, down, anywhere you go, you're moving in life and life is moving in you. That it's passing through your body and it's passing through you. It is fabulous, the new dimension. And there he was and there he said that too. Before you say it, before you ask, I am. Before you ask, I will answer. Do you believe that? Well, you say so. Then you ask and tell him 50,000 times what it is that you want. So the boy goes in the room of the fish. And he makes self-discovery. So you go in and shut the door. You. Well, I know. You feel that you haven't much strength or much this or much that or something. But if you could get alone, if you could be alone with what you are taught here and what you are shown here all the time, if you could take any one of the beautiful lessons that you have and go in and shut the door and not talk to Mabel Jones or John Smith at all about it, you would begin to make a vast discovery. And it's kind of like, the only way I can put it is that you seem to go on a kind of an elevation. You seem to be, suddenly you are aware. The other day, something happened to me, and I knew I was in a new elevation. It's very funny. I knew something happened, that I was in a new place, and I could never get back to the old place again. About it. And you will make those assumptions and forget about them. Everything you forget about is going to take place. When you pray, when you speak the word, when you accept it and release it, if you can forget about it, that'll take body and form without a question of a doubt. But if you're looking for it, you see, you keep worrying it, and it cannot grow. It can't do anything more than a seed can do. But it is marvelous what it can do for you. So you're sent, and you're given a lot of commands, and he said, heal the sick is number one, raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind. I could say to you, be prospered if I could say it. Could you hear it? Could you hear it? What? I mean, could you hear it? That's what you wanted, wasn't it? Then I said it to you. Did you hear it? Why? Jesus said, rise up and walk. Well, you see, well, he was gone. You're going to begin to hear me pretty soon. I spoke to you 2,000 years ago in the body of Jesus. One of the days you're going to hear. You're not going to take it from any man. No man has anything for you. But any man can do it. And you can do it. And you are the greatest practitioner in the world. Because there is nothing to heal, because there is something to heal. Because you're beginning to hear. And because you're beginning to believe. Well, nobody believes that Jane Jones can do it. They know her, and they say she hasn't had enough training or enough this, and anyway, she doesn't understand it. But Jane Jones may suddenly fold her tent and steal silently away. She may hear something. And ever after that, she just has that way of healing. And you'd be surprised. I say yes to every request that comes to me. Because that's all Jesus said was yes. He didn't say any, never, no. He said yes. But can you take it? Oh, you're sure you could. Could you be prospered? Oh, I'm sure you could. I don't think so. Not that way. I know that you can be. I know that you can get into an elevation, and there are all kinds of elevations. I know that you are a hopeless success if you can let this personality alone. It isn't any good for anything. He said, this is no good. It is a father. It is a liar and the father of it. It doesn't know. But he said, when you begin to hear, and this is a fabulous part about it, that you can heal the sick. You, I don't care what your name is. I don't care what you've been. If you could hear me speaking. Well, I was working once on the idea of finance, and we stayed pretty closely on it for a group of lectures until we got it turning over pretty well and did some pretty good results. But anyway, I was talking about that, can you accept it if it comes to you? Well, I was sure that I could accept it. Well, that night I went out on the street, and as I did, it was at a time when everybody was asking you for a slick dime on the street. And I saw a fellow coming, and I knew he was going to ask me for some money. So I had a handful of silver in my pocket. I took it out like that, and when he came up there, he said, buddy, could you? And I said, certainly. And he held his hand out with maybe $8 or $10 in it, like that in front of him. He said, my God, he said, that never happened to me before. And there he stood. There we stood in Long Beach on the pavement. And I waited to see what he would do. What do you think he did? There was $8 or $10 there. He took 50 cents. And that was a stretch of consciousness for him to take. That's all he could take. There it was. It's nothing but an illustration. They're all inadequate. They give you an idea. When he went down the street, he went on. I went on. And I looked back and he looked back. And then he thought, my God, what a fool I was. There was an easy mark. There's a fool going along there with money like that. I'll go back and get him. You see, so he runs back to me and he said, look at here, buddy. He said, you're a rich man. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I wanted somebody to name me or put me in some category. You know what I did? I denied it. I said, oh, no, now you're mistaken. Now, listen, now you go on. Go away from here. You're mistaken. So finally, I fought him off, and I went down the corner of the street, and I realized what I had done to myself. And I said, all right, you can go around the circle. It may be many a moon before that will ever be said to you again, because you have denied it. Well, that fellow was a beggar. I don't care where the voice comes from. I can use anything to speak through. I can see you anywhere. When did we see thee? So-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. You just don't know me. You're looking for curls and a long white robe. You're looking for something of that kind. You're not looking for me, because I can speak to you through anything, if you could hear me. Now, understand, we're not playing around with a lot of words. This is the truth. And when you are ready, I will do the work through you. And when you are ready, it comes and speaks to you and calls you by the new name. But the question is, can you hear it? Can you take it? You come and ask for help, and the practitioner says, yes, I will. Can you take it? I don't know. You see, we're in a new day. We can't go on forever like our fathers did. It was very wonderful what they did. But then he says, awake, thou that sleepest. I wonder what this thing's about. See, have you ever stopped yourself and say, to what end was I born? What am I doing here anyway? What is the meaning of this thing? What's the meaning of this character by the name of Jane Jones or John Smith? What am I here for anyway? What have I accomplished? And you say, well, nothing. That's about the thing you come to. And yet, something is stirring in you today as has never stirred before. That instead of thinking all the time about making something for yourself, getting it for yourself, you begin to see a revelation, and you want some kind of a thing to happen. You want something like, what shall we say, a miracle. And a miracle, then you tell me, is the act of God. Well, then what's so funny about the act of God being happening any time or any place? Who are you? Where are you going from here? When are you going to go in and shut the door? And when you have shut the door on yourself, when are you going to begin to let something take place in you? By the recognition. The recognition. Well, Britain recognized Red China, and they had quite a time because we didn't like it too well, you remember? And neither did a lot of other people like it too well. But Britain recognized Red China, and then the Prime Minister at that time said, what I can't understand is why they don't recognize recognition. Is that something? Because China brushed them off. They interested us. And so the Prime Minister said, why don't they? Well, I'll ask you that question. Why don't you recognize recognition? When this beloved came and called you the Son of God, what's the matter with you anyway? When are you going to make the recognition? I don't want you to be a spiritual thing with long hair and white robes and a high priest or high priestess. I want you to be a living thing in this universe. A something that can do whatsoever he asks. That anything that you ask, anything, well, not for proof or not to test it, but just because you're built that way. And I can do all things through Christ Jesus, and that goes for every single thing there is. But not you trying to demonstrate it. But you suddenly recognizing that you are this lump of substance, or this point where this thing comes through into manifestation. And no wonder it was given to the child. No adulterer can get it. He said, what kind of teaching is this? How does this man teach, seeing he has no learning? And then another one said, where did he come from? Well, he came from Nazareth. Is there any good he ever come out of that one-horse town? No, ma'am. If you saw it, you'd know that nothing had come out of it at all. That's where everything comes from. The place that you don't expect it most. So this they're talking about Jesus. And then he had these lovely brothers and sisters that ran along beside him when he was talking and made fun of him. It's nice. The reason I think so much of Jesus Christ, he had his feet in the dirt. And everything he said, he manifested. And when he said bread, all the rest is symbology. When he said bread, whang, out the bread came. When he said wine, there it was. Fish, there it was. Money, there it was. And he said something to you, and you didn't believe him. Why don't you recognize recognition? Why don't you recognize that when you call no man your father, you are transmuting and translating this thing called John Smith that you haven't gotten anywhere, you know. I know it. And you're wondering, what's this all about? And now comes the new day. The new day is coming. The second coming of Jesus Christ is taking place in the individual. You are the Christ of God. And you were told fabulous things. And one thing you were told was to let that mind be in you. You are to let that be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How are you going to let it? You can't make let, can you? So the Arab folded his tent and went silently away. And presently you began to see something. You begin to make a self-discovery. It is a matter of prosperity and a substance. They are things that cannot be taken until the greed is drained out of the mind. And when that's once gone, you can have it. That is in accordance with it. He said, anything that you ask in my nature, not in my name, it said in my name, but it really means in my nature. Because you can call the name of Jesus Christ all you want to. Nothing will happen. There are hundreds of boys called Jesus Christ in Greece. Nothing happens because their mother screams at them. Then the whole thing is turned over. And the funniest thing is that when you begin to see, I know we can't do anything. You may make so many mistakes, it's just going to be pathetic. But you're going to begin to hear something. And you're going to take your book and see the law that was given to you by Jesus Christ. Given to you, this funny old thing. Or this highly sensitized thing that knows it all. You're just to live here in the kingdom of heaven. And manifest and manifest and manifest. Whatsoever. When you get away from the idea of making miracles happen. And when you get away from the idea. And when you begin to see that the answer was always yes. And so gradually your answer will be yes. If you make it yes, you'll be surprised. Now don't make it yes to see whether it's going to work or not. But make it yes because it is yes. And when they come to you and say, for healing, or for a thing like that, why don't you say yes? Or you're going to make plenty of mistakes. That's all right. And go to hurting. Because one day you're going to get up to the level of yes. You're going to believe. And when you do believe, you will take. You will take. You will know that this power searches the joints and the marrow. And therefore, you are free. That every part of your body, this is passing through. Like the wind passes through the screen. It is passing through. You are well. You will begin to hear. Be prospered. And somewhere or other you will begin to hear it. And then someday you will hear it. And I don't know that you will have great masses of money, but I know that you're going to have it. And I know that you're going to have magnificent opportunities and things coming in your way. And I don't care what you're doing right now. The minute you do this, it's exactly like a fellow I knew that was digging foundation places. You know, trenches to put foundations in. And he came into the truth. And it was so funny. That's all he could do was hack out this earth and make it into these things. And that man built the Shamrock Hotel in Houston, Texas. He told me himself he was an ignorant boy with no education at all at 14. But when he found that light, see, I don't care what you're doing. The minute that power is turned on, it just increases like that. I don't care what you're doing, whether you're in one profession or another. The minute the power gets a hold of it, the minute you get it into that one power. Why, if you are working in any capacity at all, right away the increase begins to take place. And the first thing you know, you're in this, that, and the other thing, and you can't help it. See, you can't help it. You see, you go, and you take the whole thing with you. I was went into a realty company on Sunset Boulevard, and I was looking for a house. And they were showing me some stuff that way, and I went there several times, and the man said, look, he said, why don't you come in here in this place and work for us? I said, I'm not a real estate agent. He said, you're the best real estate agent I ever saw. He said, you sold me those houses we tried to sell you. Well, I said, I don't want to work. I'm not a job. I talk. But it's not me. Everything you touch, I don't care what it is, it pushes out beyond the border. I don't care what business you're in or anything else. If you see that, and it isn't egotism, it isn't conceit, it isn't you're trying to do something. But there it is. I have hundreds of people come to me and want to talk. And to me, it's the easiest thing in the world. That's what, get up and talk. That's all right. It's very easy. Just get up and talk. Well. No. Why don't they do it? They can't accept it. Well, do you mean by accepting it they could? That's what I mean. That's what I mean about you. I mean that you can enter into a new degree of life that will give you such a thrill that the best health you've ever had will be nothing compared to it. I know that you can enter into a place of expression where you will enter in and do fabulous things that you have never done before in your life, that you could not do. Call upon me and I will answer. What are you going to do about it? You believe that? Is that a lie? You going to try it? No good. It's way beyond any trial. There it is. I mean, that's what you profess. But you know nobody else believes it. And so you talk to them and say, well, I don't understand. It's over my head. Well, that's all right. Nobody cares. When are you going to say yes? When are you going to heal the sick and raise the dead, and open the eyes of the blind? Oh, it's fabulous. I would be a great practitioner. Say, you do it all the time. You know that my experience here of late, and after all these years in it, why, my experience is now that people that know not one word of the truth do fabulous things. I see them doing it all the time. I go in the post office the other day and said something to a fella, and right away he said, oh my, what that did to me. I mean, I'm not setting myself up as any example because I don't think I'm a good example. But I'm going to tell you a little secret that I heard of Jesus Christ when I was a kid, as I told you. But I heard the name Jesus Christ in 1923, and I never wanted for a single thing since then in any line. Is that good enough? Or is it good enough? What do you think? I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to put myself. You cannot hear that word, and you're through with a lot of the truck and rubbish that you've been carrying on. And so in 1923, I heard the word Jesus Christ and said, go into all the world and take no thought of the robe, the ring, the script, the purse, anything. Go into all the world. And there it was. And everywhere I went, this thing was there. Just like this. All over. Germany and Italy, everywhere. China, everywhere. Just the same thing. So, I told you to let the mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. And as I say, I am not a good example. I don't feel that I'm any good example of it at all. But I do can tell you that much, that I saw that thing do that. And I know that instead of wondering how to heal the sick, I know if you go and believe, if you see and actually believe that there is a power greater than your human mind, it will function through you and operate through you, and eventually it will bring the manifestation out. So your answer is going to be yes. You are the greatest practitioner that ever lived, because you are a revelator. Or at first, you may try it, and then you look for results. No results, you never look back. They never look back. You know that when Jesus healed the servant of the centurion, so interesting, how he did it. I will. Doesn't seem to be much healing in that. You can is all you need to do a thing. If you could take it. Oh, I can take... Oh, no. No, you can't take it. You're going to take it. You can't take it. You're going to grab it. See? You know what your father would have done? If he had had something and you grabbed for it, you'd been the one that wouldn't have gotten anything at all. All the other children would have gotten. Or at least that's the way it was in our house. If you grabbed for anything, they'd say, well, you'd do without entirely. And that's the way it seems when you grab at God. And you're so good. I know that. And you've done so many good things. And you're entitled to all this, but you don't get it. And somebody that doesn't do anything at all gets it. And is that nice? To him that has shall be given. To him that has not shall be taken away from. Do you see why that thing came in there all the time? Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a way of life. I don't care if you never see me again as long as you live. That wouldn't make any difference if you heard the word. You see, you've got to awake. You've got to awaken and take and appropriate those gifts that are given to you. You've got to arise and walk. Well, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind. You see, we fight shy. That's just a little bit of coming and saying yes. But now you see why you can say yes. And so many things are going to take place in you. Now I ask you a plain question. I don't care what your answer is, but I'm going to ask you a question. Your answer to yourself will determine, I mean your answer, not your wishing, but your answer. Will you be prospered? I suppose people would say yes. Somebody will be prospered. There'll be degrees of prosperity come out of that, you see. But you can't get it that way. Can't grab it. Where are you going? Where are we going? When I see the state of the condition in the world today and the frustration there is in business, I say, where's that man going? Do you know where he's going? In 2 or 3 years, you look at him and he's going right off the picture. And he doesn't have to be old or young or anything else to do it. We're in a very strange age. You better awaken and discover who you are. You better appropriate some of this beyond your human intellect and see some of the height and breadth and depth and majesty. He said, will you receive your sight? Well, I'd say yes. They have to say it, see? So you have to say it. Will you be prospered? Oh, of course. Oh, no. You will not be. You don't believe. You just want some magic to happen. There's no magic in God. It is a steady flow of life into expression. It's magnificent. So can you write and sing and dance and play and do all the things that you have desired to do all your life. If you could. But you can't unless you can. And then you can. You. And it is a secret thing. You are a hopeless success. You either hear that or you say it's pretty metaphysical speech. And then he said, my sheep hear my voice. Can you hear me? Me? Not me, but me. Why don't you take it? Why don't you drop the seed in the ground? Why don't you forget it? Will you be healed? You want to get excited and emotional about it? Will you just let go of that thing that you have? Why not? Will you be prospered? We're in the new day. And the thing that thrills me more than anything else about it is there are new levels that you're going to enter into, and when you enter into it, you can't get back. So, there we are. Awake. Now let's see. Now it says they were gathered together in one place, even as you and I came in here of our own accord. We performed the physical part of this equation. And they were baptized by the Holy Ghost. This is all sort of nebulous. But in translation, it's a descent of the power. A literal, actual descent of the power. And they were baptized by the Holy Ghost. That's where you are. Now, I don't know if it's going to do any good. Maybe just like water running off of you, or it may go right through you. Because you are, there is a descent of the Holy Ghost. Solomon, when he had made an end of praying, Why, I hear people going on all day repeating the same word. But he made an end. The fire descended from heaven, and the glory of the Lord filled the earth. This is all manifestation and abstraction. This is all the unseen manifestation. Just as soon as you take it on the unseen and actually take it, it will furnish a body for itself. It will come into manifestation. You can then have the thing that you formerly tried to pull out through your thought. And now you are taking it, and now you're forgetting it, and now you're entering into the new and beautiful and holy day. You are blessed. And you are a blessing to all with whom you come in contact. It is automatic. They touch you. They come near you. They hear you. They see you. You're it. You are that blessing. There is the increase, the automatic increase. Did you hear me? I've been speaking to you for an hour. It isn't anything I said. It was what I didn't say that I wanted you to hear. I wanted you to hear something. I wanted you to hear me. Me. All right. Then you can be healed. You are healed. You are blessed. You are prospered. In some degree, maybe in totality, that was given. My words are spirit and they are truth, and they shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish whereunto they are sent. They are sent into fulfillment. It is so. And so it is.